This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Gun violence is back on the rise in North Carolina and around the country. After a lull during the stay-at-home orders, shootings have surged in recent weeks. With multiple crises at play, researchers and activists aren't certain what's causing the rise in violence. In Durham, Police Chief C.J. Davis believes the pandemic might have something to do with it.
We do believe that the environment, the pandemic itself, has created an environment where these types of shootings have been, you know, quite prevalent.
Yet the recent spike is contributing to an existing uptick in gun violence that's been mounting for years. Jason DeBruin joins me now to share his reporting. He's WUNC's data reporter and a Guns in America fellow. Hey, Jason.
Anita, hi. Good to chat with you again.
So I want to start by kind of putting this moment in time into a larger historical context. Gun violence overall is lower today than it was in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, but it has been steadily increasing since about 2014. So I'd love to know, what are some of the factors correlated with that pre-pandemic trend that takes us up until the moment we're going to talk about?
So that's up for debate, to be honest with you. And look, as with anything, it's more than just one factor, right? So it would be incorrect to say that like a rise in inequality is the main driver here. And also, it is important to point out that we're not only down from like the 90s, but we're down pretty significantly. Violence, gun related and otherwise, homicides are down across the nation compared with the 90s. But they have been sort of steadily increasing again, as you mentioned. I read one interesting study that said that loneliness was increasing, and I know we'll get to this a little bit later in the conversation, but about two-thirds of all gun deaths are actually suicides. Mm. So I know we do a lot of focus on, obviously, mass shootings or homicides, but those combined actually make up for only about one-third of all gun-related deaths. And so there's a sort of a connection between an increase in loneliness to that increase possibly in suicide, which could be accounting for the uptick in gun deaths overall. But truly, it's more than one factor, obviously.
So talk about the trajectory of violence since the pandemic began and what we've seen over the months as stay-at-home orders have come and gone and things have shifted.
Well, it's up, right? I mean, there's been some research to look at violence, all violence and gun-related violence, and they've noted that really, as the pandemic has stretched on, it's really gotten worse and worse. Interestingly, homicides in several cities actually were down in March and April, actually. And the thinking being that as more people had, you know, obeyed the stay-at-home orders, they were inside their homes more. So there was just sort of less opportunity for those kinds of crimes of passion outside the home. Unfortunately, we've seen this again in the data, domestic violence increased during those first months. So it's not like violence subsided. It just went from, you know, outside the home to inside the home. Now, fortunately, those didn't rise to the level of homicides, but clearly domestic violence and all violence is bad, you know, even if it doesn't rise to the level of homicides. But then as the pandemic stretched on, as stay-at-home orders were lifted, or even as people obeyed them perhaps less where they did exist, those homicide rates did start to pick up again, and all gun violence started to pick up again, and really all violence did. So, it's a story of it was down early, but that was just a lull as the pandemic stretched on.
You mentioned about two-thirds of firearm-related deaths are typically from suicide. Do we know how much suicide has been a cause of the uptick during the pandemic?
So that we actually don't know yet. That data is sort of slow to come in. In fact, there are some researchers that say that we really won't know the full effect that the pandemic has had on suicides for 2 years or more. That data sometimes lags in reporting. And I might actually also mention that there's not nearly as much data on gun violence as there is on, well, really almost anything else. You might know that, for instance, Congress really doesn't fund any research related to gun violence or gun sales. So there's a lot that we actually don't know about gun violence. So what we do know, we're sort of piecing together from, I don't want to say anecdotes, but surveys in some cases, and also just what researchers in private research studies have to look at. So as it relates to suicide, unfortunately, I think we just don't know the answer yet at this point.
One of the things we have been able to note is that gun sales have gone up. The Brookings Institution estimates 3 million more firearms have been sold since March than what would normally have been in those months. So talk about the increase in gun sales and what we know about it.
Yeah, so, and to put a sort of an exclamation point on that, that 3 million number includes 1.5 million in June alone. Mm. And the expectation is that there's going to be another big uptick in July. So we'll actually get some of that data hopefully here in the next week or so. So, again, as the pandemic has stretched on, you've had a lot more gun sales. What's interesting, though, is there actually already was an uptick in sales beginning in about December or January. One of the reasons behind that could be that as Joe Biden started to do better in polls, and it looks perhaps like he could potentially be elected in the fall, there's always the thought that when a Democrat is in power, that there's going to be more gun regulations. And when there's more gun regulations, people who would be inclined to purchase a firearm think, well, let me go ahead and buy one now, so that if there are restrictions put on gun purchases in the future, that I already have mine now. So that was already starting in January and February. Then, of course, you had the pandemic hit, and as stores were closing or as people thought they might not be able to get them in the future, then they started to buy more weapons sort of in that March-April timeframe. And then as some social unrest happened and people started to perhaps fear that they could be in danger, they started buying in June more weapons for self-protection. So it's really just a confluence of factors building one on the other that has contributed to this increase in gun purchasing.
You spoke with a variety of public health experts about the added stressors on people during this pandemic, and I'm curious to hear more about what they had to say about the link between gun violence and added environmental stress and what this may look like moving forward as this pandemic, you know, continues on.
Well, unfortunately, you know, they painted kind of a bleak picture. As you might imagine, they linked some of these additional stressors to the increase in violence, right? I mean, clearly it doesn't just create violence, right? But if somebody, say, already has a new weapon and is already feeling a lot of stress, this potential added stress could, unfortunately, you know, push that person over the edge to then unfortunately commit violence. And, you know, as you said, as the pandemic stretches on, as the economic fallout gets only worse, and as people perhaps see more loved ones dying because of the pandemic, because of the virus, it's unfortunately possible that we might see even more violence through the summer. By the way, summer months where there's already an increase in violence, it's pretty well established that the warmer months already see more violence, more gun violence, more homicides. And so there's a fear that, the pandemic related stresses are only going to sort of build on top of the stresses and the violence that already builds in the summer months.
Do we know that whether or not it's the stress that's encouraging people to buy guns for the first time, or is it encouraging people who already have guns to buy more guns? Do we know much about the people who are buying the guns and leading to the spike?
That's a great and a really important question. Unfortunately, I have to say yet again, we honestly don't know much. There's just very little information that's out there about gun buyers for a variety of reasons, again, including that Congress really doesn't fund this kind of research at all. You know, gun lobbyists have tried to reduce this kind of research. So the answer is we don't know specifically. We do know some, right? I mean, the Firearms Association does surveys, but those surveys are a little more than just them asking gun stores, you know, have an estimate, how many of your sales this month do you think went to first-time buyers? And so they're just sort of guesstimating what they think that might be. That said, what the research has shown is that we think that likely during the pandemic, and especially in June, sort of as that social unrest was building, that a higher than normal percentage of gun sales were to first-time buyers. So it's not, you know, like a double-blind, full-on study, but the link is showing to be pretty clear that at least compared to normal times, there is an increase in those first-time buyers.
So we have this data, and we are a couple of months out from the election now. How will gun regulations and gun rights play into the election conversations in North Carolina in particular?
Oh, I think they absolutely will. It was interesting. I think you probably know the group Every Town for Gun Safety. They've committed to spending $60 million in states across the nation on various gun rights groups or advocacy programs, and they've committed to spending $5 million just right here in North Carolina. So a pretty big spend in what is almost certainly going to be a swing state. And not only for the, you know, for the president, but obviously we have a senator that's up for election, and of course the governor as well. And that's not even to mention redistricting. So it's a major election here in North Carolina. As with any election, gun rights and gun issues tend to play a role, and it's almost certainly going to play, a significant role in this election here coming up in November.
Jason DeBruin is WUNC's data reporter and a Guns in America fellow. You can find links to all of his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Thanks so much, Jason.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You've been listening to North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.